This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Let's go on an adventure. Bop, bop, a shoo, bop, 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 yeah. Let's go on it together.
Welcome to the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts After Dark. Settle in, get cozy, grab yourself a nice glass of scotch or beverage of your choice. Light the fire, grab a cozy blanket, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
You are in for a treat with today's episode. And we're done.
Kaboom!
Kaboom! Guys, thank you for tuning in on this. It's actually good that our alarm went off because I would have just done that for hours. It would have been the longest intro ever.
It literally just pulled the plug on you.
It did. It really did. But guys, you might have seen behind me.
You are not Logan Vail.
I am not Logan Vail, but there's our guest.
Spoiler alert.
Nikki, why don't you preoccupy the people while I grab the iPad?
Yeah, so we have a couple of studio firsts here today. This is our first guest that has a jazz background. We've never done a jazz genre before. And this is our first guest that has played a piano live in studio. So... just when we thought we've done it all, we've seen it all, we're not stale yet.
No, not at all. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I can't tell you how long I've waited for us to get a jazz pianist
here. Or just a piano player in general.
Or just a piano player, right? You know, jazz is, for me, it's like the top tier level of piano playing, something that I have yet to achieve. Although that little intro maybe was a little jazzy, so maybe it's there.
Hey, you know what? That was beautiful on the fly, what you did there. Oh, you just felt that in your soul and ran with it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's jazz for you. You know, it's a lot of improv and it makes its own rules. And
it is.
Yeah. I think you did a great job, Chris.
Well, thank you. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I've been exploring how to play on the piano. I don't finish anything, not a single darn thing. But you know what? It's the thought that counts. I love the fact that you and I have been practicing the last part of Hey Jude. It's like we're not going to start from the beginning. No, we're going to start right at the part that's like absolutely amazing,
right? Yeah, are we doing this?
Oh, you know it.
Oh God. Okay.
That might be a little loud. Na 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 Oh, see, this is why I don't sing professionally, because
hairball.
Hairball.
Anyways, you guys get the point. but it's fun, right? Like, you know, and for me, like, the piano was really my first, you know, deep dive into music that I just fell in love with. And so, you know, it's why we do this. It's why we do this show. You have two of the biggest fans out there for the musical world here in New England. And, you know, I'm just so excited that we have our secret guest that you don't know about.
well, I mean, yeah. Even the spoiler alert's been, I guess, spoken for in the audio version already. Yeah. Oops.
Yeah, but that's okay.
It's okay.
It's all right. You know, here, there is no script. We just wing it.
We just raw dog this shit.
We just raw dog.
Raw dog.
And, you know, bow wow. It's how it happens. But, guys, you are in for a treat. Like, let me tell you, wait. Like, my voice is horrible compared to this gentleman. When you hear his voice, you will melt. You will absolutely melt. And
you will become a puddle.
You will become a puddle. So, with that being said, get comfortable, pull up that scotch, and sit back.
And pour your chair, huh?
And pour your chair, and all the nonsense, because coming up is our next guest here on the show, Nikki. Why don't you introduce him?
Today's guest carries a name steeped in musical history, yet his story is very much his own. Logan Vail, grandson of the legendary crooner Jerry Vail, grew up surrounded by the golden echoes of jazz and big band. His performances breathe new life into timeless standards, blending authenticity and heart in a way that honors tradition while still sounding fresh. But Logan isn't just keeping the past alive. He's also charting his own course, writing original music and exploring creative projects that reveal his gift as both a storyteller and a songwriter. Welcome to the studio, Logan.
Woo. Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is our first piano player and our first time that we've had jazz on the show. So I'm excited. I'm a little bit biased because I love jazz and piano.
Yeah.
So
Chris is just happy that somebody that knows what they're doing is playing the piano for once.
Oh, right in the feels. I know. I'm actually very excited because that's my personal piano. So I want to see what it sounds like when somebody actually knows what they're doing.
That's very nice.
Yeah. So Logan. Wow. So how long have you been playing the piano for?
A long time.
Yeah.
My parents started me really young. Started at 2.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They found someone to teach me that young, and then I took lessons since then.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and well, not recently, but I took them all like throughout high school. I was studying classical, right? That's what my background is.
Yep.
And then I started getting into jazz and like that music, even though I'd grown up with it. I got into it, you know, around high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, yeah, I can absolutely relate to that. I got my first piano, not at 2, but I think I was 10 or 11. It was pretty early on, and, you know, fell in love with playing the piano. And what a great instrument to really learn music on initially.
Because
it like really teaches you all the scales, all the notes.
And it's very visual too.
Right.
Like because you can see the notes laid out in front of you, right? Instead of, like, guitar is great, and I know, like, I've played it a little bit, but I love having the visual aspect of learning.
Yeah, and we've had a few musicians where they said that they've initially learned on the piano and then were able to transition over to the guitar.
Yeah.
You know, but I have a particular fondness for people who stick with the piano.
Yeah, well, so the crazy thing is that I am very glad my parents made me, you know, keep playing. Yeah. But I didn't want to. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't practice as much as I should have.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of funny because there was a time where I pretty much was like, all right, I'm done with piano. I want to focus on singing, right?
Okay.
Because I really love singing. And yeah, there was a time where I was like, I'm done with piano. I'll put it on the back burner, you know, I'll have it. But I don't want to, like, play or perform anymore that way.
Oh, okay.
Found my way back to it, right?
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, I was singing in college, and I was doing it to tracks, which tracks are fine, and, you know, they're great to practice with, and but I just wasn't, getting, like, the enough fulfillment out of it or enough artistry, right?
Right.
And so I remember it took, like, a month. You know, I had the background. I don't have as much. We didn't study that much music theory, which I regret.
Yeah. Right?
I wish I had a little bit more, but I sat down and I was like, okay, I'm going to learn chords.
Oh, nice.
Learn the chords so I can accompany myself on piano and so I can start playing gigs. And that's why I've only started gigging like relatively recently, where I've been studying a lot longer.
Okay. Well, I think it paid off like tremendously because like you know, vocals is just as important as the piano because they're both instruments.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and what I love about your journey is that, you know, you've set aside the piano to then focus on your vocal instruments, and now that you got that dialed in, you brought it back in with the piano, and guys, like. Sounds amazing.
I fell in love with the voice, you know, in high school because I did theater and
I was gonna ask, did you ever do anything like in chorus, like in middle school or high school or anything like that? Or
so I did Rhode Island Youth Theater, as you know, youth theater group in Rhode Island. It's still going on. I did that when I was probably like 10 maybe, like I did it that young, and then I kept doing it. So I was singing in musical theater, and I grew up loving theater, right? Because my mom like had that in me, so I loved, you know,
I was going to Broadway shows and things.
And I there's so many shows I love, so I, you know, I did that with Rhode Island Youth Theater, and I was ensemble a lot, right? And you know, I was getting comfortable singing. And then high school, right, they had a drama program, and so I did that. I got a okay role. The first show was Seussical,
right?
Freshman year.
Fun.
Yeah. And then they had a talent show, a cabaret, I forget which one. They had one in the fall and one in spring.
Okay. Right?
So spring was coming around. I was like, okay, let me try and do something. I was playing piano.
Yeah.
Right. Just messing around. And I had this old book. I still have it. The cover's fallen off. So many good songs in it that I'm still discovering. But there was House of the Rising Sun.
Ooh.
Right? Awesome song.
Classic, yeah.
So I'm playing it on piano because, you know, I read sheet music at this point. So I see the lyrics there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, let me try singing it. Why not? Sure. And I go through it and it's awesome. I'm like, okay, hey, this is actually pretty cool. Maybe I should do this on stage. So I went to the talent show and I did House of Rising Sun, me playing piano and singing.
Ooh.
People loved it. It was received well. It was the first time that I sang solo on stage.
It's so validating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the first time I performed, not like in a theater setting.
Right, right.
And I was like, oh, maybe I should do this more.
Yeah.
Then I left the piano behind and started focusing more on the voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I know I mentioned in the intro, your grandfather, you know, he's...
Yes.
He's, you know, a musician. Did you ever, like, sing with him or anything growing up as well?
So I'll go into that whole thing. Like,
okay.
So he's the reason why I started piano.
Okay.
So he, you know, professional musician.
Yep.
Very professional musician. I mean, he was friends with Frank Sinatra and like all the crooners, you know.
Nice.
So like he worked in Vegas and did all these shows, right?
He's
so
legit.
Yeah, like and you know, so having that in his background, crazy thing is he never knew how to read sheet music.
Really?
Even with all that, you know, that professional, like, lifetime, that was his work.
So was he, like, self-taught from when he was a kid or something? Or?
He sang a lot, and then he was discovered at, like, a nightclub, and he was trained vocally. You know, he took lessons as he worked professionally. But one of the things he regretted was that he could never, like, talk the music lingo, right? That he didn't read sheet music that he didn't know.
Yeah.
So he said to my parents, like, you have to have him read sheet music. Yeah. That's the one thing I'm making, just make him take lessons.
Right.
Learn how to read.
Learn from my mistakes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they started me as young as they could at 2.5. And so that's why I started.
Logan could read a book, but he could read sheet music.
I think that's honestly true. I think I could read music before I could actually, like,
read.
That's wild.
Which is pretty crazy.
That was one thing I could never grasp. Like, I remember in, like, middle school music class, they would, like, try to teach you. I could never grasp the concept of it.
Yeah, I remember, you know, these vague memories, obviously. My teacher, she had the keyboard hooked up to a TV that had games on it.
Oh,
so
cool.
When you would play the notes, it would affect the TV. And now this was a long time ago, right? So it was like very new technology, and it was wild. So that helped me learn.
Yeah.
That's like that video game or that computer game. What is it? Like Guitar Smith or something like that? Or
the Guitar Hero.
No, that's the video game, but there's actually a like a training software. Okay. I think it's called Guitar Smith, I want to say. But yeah, it'll be like to learn chords and stuff. It's like how fast you could do it, like to get more points or something like that, or like Fruit Ninja style, basically. Yeah.
Well, and a lot more things.
Like the older, you know, the old school, what you're describing.
Yeah, the old version of it.
Yeah.
I had a job where I sold pianos at one point, and they had some of these keyboards that would, like, it had a screen in it, mm-hmm. and it would show the notes, and you'd hit the notes. Like
I've seen something like that. Yeah.
So I had a Casio where the lights, the keys actually lit up.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
And I was like, this is amazing. Like, I can play all these songs. And a lot of the original songs, nothing like, you know, no modern pop songs. Yeah, it was all classical stuff. But that's where I learned a lot of my classical songs at first. So,
like Ode to Joy and things like that. Yeah, yeah. Green Sleeves.
Green Sleeves, yeah. but that's cool. I want to circle back a little bit just to The House of the Rising Sun. Just FYI, that's my father's most favorite song.
Yeah,
like that's like his national anthem.
it's such a good song.
It really is.
I don't know, Logan. Maybe can you play it for Chris's dad later?
we'll see. It's been a while. I learned it on guitar recently. Yeah. You know, to like because I was messing around and, you know, starting to learn a little bit there, but I haven't played on piano in a long time.
I did so I like to learn how to play songs, but then I like to add my little spin to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I did a chord progression. I added a chord progression to that song to kind of just, you know, spice it up.
Cool.
Yeah. It's fun.
You're learning Heart-Shaped Box from Nirvana, but you slowed it down.
I did, nice.
And it actually, it's like chillingly beautiful.
I'm going to play that later on after we're done here.
Yeah.
But enough about me. So do you have a song prepared for us?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do one. I play a lot of bars, right, nightclubs and stuff, and the problem with them is, and this is not really a problem, it's more my problem, is the owners, and I get it, they don't like sad songs.
In
bar settings, right? They want the
I don't know why. That should jump up sales. Like,
right, I know. Like, people want to stay and hear the whole, you know, stay the whole night and listen to sad music. But I love sad songs.
Yeah.
Right? That's like my thing that I love playing. I love songs in a minor key, you know, it's just, that's what I love. So I'm going to do a sad song.
We're all about
this. It's your show today. We're just here for it.
So this song, it's, you know, most of the songs I do, all of them, all the jazz songs, they're all covers, right? Because so many of the great artists recorded all of these, multiple artists, multiple versions. And, the writers for this, the first time I heard it was Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, nice.
Has such a great version of the song. The best one, I think, is actually on YouTube, and it's a live one. But it's from a show, and I love the title of the show. The show's called Roar of the Grease Paint and Smell the Crowd.
Ooh.
And it's, you know, like most of these songs people don't realize are from old musicals, like old movies. And the movies or musicals themselves might not be famous, but the song still lasted.
Yeah.
Right. So this is from that. it's called Who Can I Turn To? Who can I turn to when nobody needs me? My heart wants to know, and so I must go where destiny leads me. With no star to guide me and no one beside me, I'll go on my way, and after the day, the darkness will hide me. And maybe tomorrow I'll find what I'm after. I'll throw off my sorrow, beg, steal, or borrow my share of laughter. With you I could learn to, with you on a new day. But who can I turn to if you turn away?
So, okay, I've officially, I'm recognizing that that piano's not broken. It's just me that can't play that. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can imagine that probably doesn't go over well at the bars.
Yeah.
But I'll allow myself like one or two.
Yeah. Well, my friend, you are playing the wrong bars. You need to find the ones with like the Frank Sinatras and yeah. Seriously, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Like, I hear your voice, and all I can think of is like Frank Sinatra, like "Fly Me to the Moon." Like,
I can do those.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's great though that you are in that genre. And that you are, you know, just pursuing it. Because, like, you don't hear much out there.
No, you don't.
You know?
It's a very, very, like, niche thing, you know? Like, you have to go to a piano bar or, you know what I mean? Like, you don't just... Yeah. Even, like, Lizzie Marquis, she's known around here for, you know, she's a piano player.
Yeah.
She gigs out of, like, a lot of the bars and stuff, but... That's pretty much the only piano player that I know of that is even out there and doing like more jazzy things.
Yeah. I go to a lot of jazz jams around Rhode Island. There's some really cool ones, and there's not that many piano players. I go to just sing, you know, take some pressure off just to like get up there, sing a little bit. It's so much fun. but yeah, I was very, very happy, and I learned how to play all the chords, right? And to be able to accompany myself. And it was when I listened, and that was like 2.5 years ago, maybe, when I like started approaching the jazz piano side of it, like self-taught jazz piano, which is...
That's wild.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah.
But I listened to myself from 2.5 years ago. It hurt so much because I've really improved a lot since then.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, like I've gotten more comfortable with the soloing and getting more comfortable with the rhythm. And now I play with some other bands too. And like just piano, which is crazy to me. Like I had a rehearsal yesterday, where I'm playing with a band at, the Knickerbocker in Rhode Island. I think on the 25th of September, somewhere around there. But, I'm just playing piano with them. I'm not singing, which is crazy to me. Like now that I'm
you're just accompanying them.
Yeah.
It is crazy because like you know, I played the piano at an event, and then word got out like this guy can play piano, and I literally got approached by a jazz band like, hey, you want to come play with us? And I'm like, okay, listen, I'm not like
I'm not that good,
you know. I feel like jazz on the piano is just completely a level up from then just regular piano.
It really is, because like there's like when you look at the keys or things within certain songs, right, they usually stay in one key. They might go to another one, but that's it. Yeah, right, but yeah. Most jazz songs, they transition from like three different keys, and it doesn't tell you where they transition. You just have to be able to pick it up, and I'm still learning.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to progress and still trying to understand all the harmonies and the different chords to be able to solo better, but there's so much to it.
And I think too, for me, the part I have a hard time wrapping my head around is the timing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everything that you've learned with regular music, or other genres of music, you know, timing is very concrete. But with jazz, it kind of like makes its own timing, and it still works.
Yeah,
jazz makes its own rules.
It's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so funny too, because like some of the gigs I'll do, it's such a different animal, because we won't rehearse with the other musicians. We'll just show up and then we'll just count it in and then go and just figure it out. And it's pretty wild. Like it's such a different animal. Yeah. Then you have waltzes, you have swings, you have bossa nova, and it's all these different rhythms and trying to keep them together. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite genre of jazz? Oh, I know. It's like, pick your child. Which one you like most?
I don't. I mean, ballads, because I love like this, slow ones. But I love bossa novas. I have a lot of bossa novas on my like set list, you know, that I rotate through. But it changes, right?
Cause, sure, yeah.
I'll have like a song that I'm like, oh, I love playing this, like Angel Eyes. Angel Eyes is one I always go back to, because it's a nice closer, or like a it's nice when I'm like taking a break, right?
Yeah.
I'll do it right before the break. It's slow, but if I do it right, if I, you know, pace it at the right point, it'll be nice.
Oh, that's nice. I'm probably going to get us canceled, at least in the Boston area. But I like any jazz song with New York in it, like New York minute.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Like that. I hear that, and I'm just like, that's off.
I'd love to do New York, New York.
Ooh,
but, yeah.
But I feel like I can only do it with a big band. I feel like
right. You need the horn section. Yeah. You need all the things. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't do it with anything less. Like it's won't.
A larger than life big song.
It all is. Yeah.
So that's what you need. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, here at the show is our musicians manifest all their wants. So if you know, you playing with a huge jazz band is something that you are shooting for, manifest it now, because it'll happen.
That's what I want.
And honestly, too, like you said, only with like horns and all that, it made me think, Chris over here is a kazoo. And as our buddy, friend of the show, Jared Moore says, he started incorporating a kazoo into his sets, and he was like, my saxophone player canceled last minute.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all I can think of. You're like, I need horns. I'm like, horns. Chris has a kazoo.
Kazoo will, yeah, sure, pick it up.
I once did a kazoo solo.
Was it received well?
Yeah, Mike Jetty loved it.
Yeah, it's on my TikTok. I only have like three TikToks on that I made, but that is one of them. It was like elevator music to guitar. Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's go ahead. Do you have another song prepared?
Yeah, I do. Let me do this one. This is one of the ones where I'm like, maybe I do it as a ballad, maybe I do it up tempo, maybe it's a bossa nova, and I just decide in the moment, right?
Read the room a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Because a lot of the songs, they can be done, I mean, anyway, right? Like right. Autumn Leaves is one I used to do as a ballad, and then I started doing it swing, and I like, you know.
You know, I have to say, this actually gave me chills when it all happened. So we spoke off camera. We scheduled today's date March 4th.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yes.
My grandmother recently passed last October, and Autumn Leaves was her favorite song. Mm. And we booked this on her birthday.
Oh.
Well, I think that's the one I have to do then.
So the fact that you brought that up, and I'm like, oh my God, Autumn Leaves, because that's like something you don't hear very often.
Yeah.
I remember her telling me that. So wow. I'm like, that's like a full circle.
Yeah, that's thing. Pretty crazy. Yeah. It's that one's pretty special to me because that book that I mentioned that has House of Rising Sun.
Yeah.
There were a couple other songs in there that I would do because I liked. One was MacArthur Park, which I love. Another one was Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Love that song.
Yeah, crazy. It's awesome. And then the other one that was right near House of Rising Sun was Autumn Leaves.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And so that's one of the ones I like. That was like probably the second song I learned from that book. So it's always been like a, you know, significant song to me.
It's a little special place in your heart. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually one of the ones on the album.
Yes.
Right? So
yeah.
The album's 8 songs, and this is one of them. So yeah, let's do this one.
All right.
The falling leaves drift by the window, the autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips, the summer kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold. Since you went away, the days grow long, and soon I'll hear old winter song. But I'll miss you most of all, my darling, when autumn leaves start to fall.
Get that pumpkin spice out, guys.
I'm waiting for the lights to start flickering or something.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I could do that.
No, Nana has to do it.
That's true. Wow, that was incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah. I definitely felt the chill of the autumn air.
Yeah. It's this song's it's been around like in my repertoire for a long time. And the really cool thing, so on the album, you know, we recorded it, and I had a piano player come in play on it because I just wanted to focus on singing on the album.
Sure.
You know, bass, drums, jazz trio, right?
Yeah.
And then the engineer, the producer, he was like, well, I know someone. I know someone local. I think he lives in Mass somewhere. I don't know where. I know a guy, he's a guitar player, he's really good. I could see if he'd want to come down and play on a couple of your songs.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, cool. Like, who is he? And he's like, well, his name's Gray Sargent. He was Tony Bennett's guitarist for 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. like a really like
So nobody off the streets.
No. Like, and so I was like, is that possible? Like, that's amazing. You know, like,
yeah.
And that's one of the things that I've been really amazing. Going through these gigs and meeting a lot of these musicians, I'm meeting a lot of musicians that played with these legends, you know, and, he came into the studio, he sat down, he listened to the song, he listened to it once, he looked at the chord chart I gave him, yeah. He hummed it in his head, like hummed the in the correct key, hummed it in his head, listened to the song once, and he was like, all right, cool, let's go. And then he recorded, and that was it. Just one
true professional.
Isn't that amazing?
It was so crazy to see him work.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Because it's like, you know, me, it's like, okay, let me try to find that. Oh, there it is. And, you know, and I'm just like fumbling through. But I've also met musicians that can just dive right in. It's amazing to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Some people, like, it could be a truck driving by and they know what key, you know, like the engine noise was, like just off the top of their head, you know, it's some people just have that gift.
Yeah. That ear. And I feel like you can get there with training, and I'm trying, I'm really trying to get there, you know, but it's going to take time. Yeah. Some people are just really talented.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's like, but you know, no matter how good you do get, you know, then you go on TikTok and here's a 5-year-old playing, Beethoven fifth or whatever. It's like, oh, okay, I guess I'm. But anyways, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So now that you're out there gigging, is there a place that you haven't performed at that you would like to perform at?
Oh, yes. There's always been this dream place, and it's been the same since I've been like little.
Yeah.
My dream venue, and this is, I don't know how soon I could get there. It'd probably be a little bit. I need a big band.
Yeah.
My dream venue would be Carnegie Hall.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's always been that thing because my, one of my grandfather's favorite albums, one of my favorite albums of his is, live Standing Ovation Live at Carnegie Hall.
Oh.
And it's a live recording of him performing there.
Wow.
And it's an amazing album.
Yeah.
I would check it out. But it's always been that, like, that legendary place I've always wanted to, like, do a full show at. And also in part because of my dad. My music heritage doesn't just come from, you know, just my grandpa. My dad was in drum corps for a while.
Oh, yeah. Is that his dad?
No.
Oh, that's so mom's dad.
Mom's dad is my grandpa, yeah. But my dad, he was in drum corps, and he showed me a lot of music growing up. So I love, like, Styx, Foreigner, Chicago, yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, like, I love brass and, you know, the big horn section. But he always used to say to me, stupid dad joke.
I'm ready for this one.
How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
How?
Practice.
Yeah.
And so, like, you'd always say, you know, it's like, all right, yeah, great. So it's like he'd always say that to me when I was growing up. So it's, you know, it's definitely one of those places I really want to get to.
You know, the only place that I've been to that has the name Carnegie on it is that I've been to the Carnegie Deli, which is
right a great spot.
Oh my gosh. Like that was amazing, you know, in itself, but I would love to go to the Carnegie Hall. Like, it's such an amazing venue.
Yeah. We did this like school trip to New York, and it was in middle school, and each of us from like our little class, like we had to research a location in New York.
Okay.
You know, so like people picked the UN, the Empire State Building, Chrysler Building, right? Like, and so I got to pick Carnegie Hall.
Oh, nice.
And so on the trip to New York, we got to visit all these places and like see them. So I got to like go into Carnegie Hall and see it. This the only time I've ever actually been in there.
Yeah.
Did you get like a full blown tour?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow.
We got to go like on a balcony, and there was like a orchestra like warming up or practicing. So again, to see that was awesome. Oh. Yeah. It's really cool.
Well, again, we are a show about bringing reality to manifestations.
Yeah. You are currently sitting in the manifestation station. So that's our buddy Seth calls it here.
That's
so
right.
Yeah,
that's right.
He one time he's like, I want to play this place in Iceland, and then he went on vacation to Iceland, and we he's also the karaoke ninja, and someone's like, "You're a musician? Come play in my bar." And so next thing you know, he's playing in, you know, Iceland.
Wow.
Exactly where he said he wanted to be, and actually he's back for tour number two right now. He's over there currently.
In Prague.
Wow. In Prague, yeah.
Well, I'll keep you guys updated in case anything happens.
Yeah, definitely. And we're excited to follow your musical journey here.
Yeah.
So, to inspiring musicians that are out there, especially my fellow pianist.
Pianist. What advice do you have for Christopher?
What advice would you give to inspiring musicians out there?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. Yeah. There's so much, like, for singers, throat coat tea. Mm, I had some before.
That stuff tastes weird, but it... Yeah.
It does taste... It has a very specific taste, but, like...
See echinacea in it.
I had some before I came here. It's amazing, you know. But my... So, I'd give two pieces of advice. One more grounded. It's actionable. The other one is a little more out there. The first one is record everything. Record every performance. Practices, you can record them if you need to. But... any performance, if you're going to an open mic, if you're going to a jam session, if you're playing a gig, record them. You don't have to listen to them that day because I want to enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
After I finish a gig, I want to think, hey, that was awesome, not immediately critique myself.
Yes.
But afterwards, like, give it a day or two and watch it back, because that'll really, really help with, like, improving your craft. You'll hear all your mistakes and it'll be bad, right?
Yeah.
And it took me so long to get to the point where I was comfortable listening to myself sing.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And now, like, it sounds kind of bad, but I'll listen to my album and, like, enjoy listening to it.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to that point. The other piece of advice, and this is a big one, is trust the process.
Okay.
Right? If you're passionate about this, and I mean, there was a, right, I've been playing and singing for a long time, and there was a point when I didn't think I'd play piano anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Sure. I was like, I'm done with piano. I'm giving it up. I'm tired of it. I don't want to play it anymore. There was a point in college where I didn't think I'd sing anymore.
Oh, wow.
Where I was like, oh, I'm just going to, I do it occasionally in the car or sing in the shower, but I'm not going to try and, like, perform live anymore. Because I was doing it with tracks at the time, right? I was like, all right, I'm done. Like, I'm... And now here I am getting paid professionally to do it and having just released my first album.
That's amazing.
You know, so, like, it's hard to see it where you are currently, wherever you are in your journey. Oh, and I never thought I'd write music, right? I always thought, no, I'm just going to sing jazz, like jazz covers. I love it. Writing music's not for me. And now I have, like, this whole project that I'm working on and different songs that I'm putting together, and I'm doing the lyrics and the music together. So...
Never say never.
Yeah, I know, right?
Trust the process. Like, if you don't think things are going to work out, or it just might not be the right time. But if you're really passionate about it, if it's something you care about, it will come back.
Oh, that's great advice. That's great advice. Right. It's a journey. It's not supposed to set a, you know, pre-predicted path.
Yeah. No, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
exactly.
That's great. Nikki, do you have a question?
Yeah. If you could collaborate with any artist or anybody living or dead, who would you want to make music with?
Well, I feel like that answer is kind of obvious.
Yeah.
But there's more to it. So my first answer would be my grandpa. Because when I was 2.5, he had a stroke.
Oh.
And he recovered, but not enough to go back to performing.
Oh,
so
wow.
I mean, I was young at the time when he was still doing shows, and he did a couple after that. My mom has these old videos of him bringing me out on stage, like at the end of shows or in the middle of them, and, you know, just me as a baby.
I love that.
There's some really cool, like, old VHS tapes, you know, like, old tapes of him rehearsing with the band, right? The big band's there on stage, and he's standing there. And there's me, like, 1, 2, 3 years old, sitting in a chair on stage with him, just watching.
Oh, and that is so cool.
Yeah, like having seen those, you know, with not having grown up around it, because I, you know, I was young at the time. I was like a child. Yeah, so like, I didn't.
Your memories probably don't go far, you know, yeah, far enough back for that.
I at the time, I didn't appreciate the level that he was and like his artistry and like.
Well, that's know. Because of, you know, that he's just grandpa.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
all you know. Exactly. That's grandpa.
So, yeah, he passed away when I was in middle school or eighth grade, yep. Right? Going to high school.
Yeah.
And so I didn't start singing the jazz stuff until high school because I did House of Rising Sun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the next fall was Cabaret Talent or whatever, Cabaret. And I was like, I want to surprise my mom. I want to do Pretend You Don't See Her, which is, it's probably one of his more famous songs, right?
Yeah.
It's usually the first song that pops up when you search him. Beautiful song. And I was like, I want to do it. I want to surprise her. So that was the first like jazz song that I learned. Okay. I had a friend play piano, accompany me with it. And then from there, I was like, oh, I like these jazz pieces. I'm going to start doing more of them. But we never got to talk about it. Right. And, you know, I know he's watching and seeing all this that I'm doing, but, it'd be cool to be able to talk to him about the music and talk to him about performing and gigging and being,
right.
But I'm having a lot of those moments. Even still, I had a show at Rhodes in the Patuxent.
Okay.
Right. In Rhode Island. It was a venue he performed at,
Oh. Which
was wild.
That's cool.
Right? Yeah.
It was for a charity event. It was a cavalcade of bands. It was all a bunch of jazz bands, right?
Oh, that's cool.
And so a piano player, she was the one that played on the album with me, so we knew each other great. The drummer and bass player I'd never played with before, but they're jazz musicians. They'll be fine, right? So right before we're about to go on, they come up to me and they're like, hey, wait, your grandfather's Jerry Vail? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, we both played with him.
Oh, wow.
The bass player was like, yeah, I played with him at Foxwoods. And the drummer was like, yeah, I played with him at the Warwick Musical Theater, the tent. I'm like, oh, crazy. Like, I'm getting to now sing and perform, like, live with musicians that played with him and that knew him.
That's awesome.
You know, so it's still, like, I feel like it's still happening. Like, I'm still making that connection. And I'm following in his footsteps, meeting all these people that knew him and that worked with him. But yeah, he'd probably be the number one pick. A honorable mention, Chet Baker.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I love Chet Baker's sound and style. He'd be cool to work with. But yeah, so.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really cool today. You get those little confirmations out there. And I
yeah.
You know, I would feel that he would be like really proud of you.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Know?
You.
Yes. Or, you know, who's to say that he's not putting them, you know, purposely putting them in your path for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just also such a proud thing, like, you know, when people are like, oh yeah, I knew your grandfather, and like, they speak really highly of him. Like, that means so much.
Well, the musicians, like, they talk to me, they're like, oh yeah, he was really cool. He'd always hang out with us and like talk to us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, singers have a reputation, right? So like, to know that the musicians like appreciated him and he was like friends with them and cool with them was really, that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, that goes for like anything. Like, you know, you can be like, oh yeah, I knew your father. He did the most beautiful woodworking or, you know, things like that. It's just, it's such a nice.
Hearing that about.
Yeah.
Yes.
The positivity of that. Yes.
Yeah.
Well.
So that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah, that was a beautiful story, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. So we want to dive into another song.
Yeah, I'll actually do I'll do one of his. He recorded. Oh. Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure with that, right? He recorded a lot, just like any other artist from that era.
Yeah.
So I know Bobby Darin, another artist I love from that era. He recorded this as well. But one of the, you know, he did a lot of the more Italian. My grandpa did a lot more of the Italian-American crooner songs. And I have one of them, Au Di Là, on the album. It's very stressful because you know, especially for my grandma, she had high expectations. Or, you know, you know, I wanted to do it right and do it well, and I was very happy with it. And she loves the album, which is great.
Oh,
you know,
that's
and it,
awesome.
Yeah,
she has a very high standard herself, right? Because she lived around the greatest.
That was her generation.
Yeah. And she was like, you know, she knew Frank Sinatra personally, and same like all of them.
Wow. Yeah.
You know,
so yeah, the bar set pretty high for her.
Yeah. But then she, a couple months ago, she said something. She said, "I could see you working professionally in Vegas." Like, ooh, you know, for me, that was like a huge milestone because,
especially coming from somebody that knows it and has seen it and been around
that
it, like,
lived there, during like the height,
That's validating,
It is. So, this song is one that I like to do occasionally. It's not on the album, but it's called More.
Greatest love the world has known. This is the love I give to you alone. More than the simple words I try to say, I only live to love you more each day. More than you'll ever know, my arms long to hold you so. My life will be in your keeping, waking, sleeping, laughing, weeping. Longer than always is a long, long time, but far beyond forever, you'll be mine. No one else could love you more.
Beautiful.
Wow.
I love the lyrics, right?
Yeah.
Like, all the lyrics of this era are so, they're beautiful.
They really are. I know, they don't make songs like this anymore these days. But that's why I love that you are out there, you know,
trying
that alive.
Exactly. A little bit off topic.
Yeah.
I noticed that tattoo. Is that Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
They're taking the hobbits to Isengard.
Hold on. Let me see if I can zoom in on
can
this.
Can you zoom in on it?
Yeah, let me try.
That's the one ring.
I'll flex a little bit, too.
Oh, there we go. There we go. That's amazing. I love that. That's an awesome tattoo.
It was my first one.
Okay.
And, I love it.
Yeah.
Like I was like, you know, I was like, I want to wait a while, make sure I get something meaningful. And I've loved Lord of the Rings.
Oh, me too.
It is. And I count all of them together, right? Because it's a trailer. Like, it's one story. My favorite movie of all time.
Yes.
Like, that's number one for me.
Hey, Chris, you're never going to believe this. Not only have I never seen a single Star Wars, I've never seen the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to have to find another Hulk Hogan to here. Jeez.
It's Lord of the Rings. I mean, Star Wars is awesome, too.
Yeah.
But I'll take your word for that.
Lord of the Rings is just, and it still holds up. Like, it's still so good.
I just recently watched the uncut version, again, like the 10th time.
Yeah, the 4-hour long cuts.
Yeah.
They're long movies.
Yes,
But that's the thing is, like, when you start to love, like, the world, you're like, I want them longer.
Yeah.
I want more.
I know. Tolkien had a way of just creating all this lore, and it was just...
I know.
Yeah. Like, it's
good.
It's good stuff.
A little sidetrack, but it's great series.
Like I said, total ADHD brain here over here. But
it's like right at key level. So here he is.
I know.
I'm watching just, like, you play his piano
right
and making it sound beautiful. And bam, right there.
I would need the sheet music, but I did learn some of the music from it.
Did you really?
And it's so, like, it's iconic.
Howard Shore is?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I had a really cool chance. So, a little bit about me, right? My and my mom. My mom is so creative. She's amazing, and she would make costumes for us all the time.
Oh yeah,
right. So she made Lord of the Rings costumes, right? Fittingly, yeah. Of course, right? We would want him. And she entered him in this competition, right? We went to King Richard's Fair in Renaissance Fair, right? Local here. And
yeah.
We went to Comic-Cons, right? So she entered them in this competition, Lord of the Rings costume competition.
Okay.
She won, and she got two tickets for each of the movies for, like, when they first started doing the orchestra.
Oh,
the orchestra, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Symphony to the movie.
Right.
So we went, my dad, my brother, and my mom and me went. I got to see all of them, and they each went to one of them with me.
Yes.
And it was the final one, the third movie, Howard Shore actually came out on stage.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, more music stuff. But that's the thing is, like, my music, I love rock. Mm. That's like, I don't know if I should say this, but I almost like it more than jazz.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's like my thing to listen to, right? I love singing, you know, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Like classic rock.
Classic rock is where I'm at too.
I really like metal. I grew up with like Linkin Park, 30 Seconds to Mars.
I just saw Linkin Park.
Really?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago at the Garden.
How about Metallica?
Was it good?
Of course you snuck in Metallica. Of course you did.
No, Metallica is great.
That
sounds
great.
Yeah.
But Linkin Park's awesome.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I think they made the right choice putting the female lead singer in there.
Yeah, I really like her.
I haven't listened to any of their like new stuff yet.
Yeah. No, it's really good. I think it was definitely the right decision putting her in there. Because think about it, you can't replace Chester.
No, you can't.
I know.
And I feel like putting another male in there is trying to fill his shoes.
Yeah.
So, but her range is incredible.
Yeah.
She's got that rasp to her voice and she can scream too. So, cool. Yeah, I mean,
I'll have to check it out. Yeah.
When she first started, she tried to really kind of like channel the Chester and she got a lot of shit for it.
Yeah.
They're like, just be you. Like, that's why we asked you to be a part of this band because of who you are and your awesomeness.
Makes
and
sense, yeah.
Once she dialed it back and, you know, did her own thing, it was amazing.
Cool.
Really, really great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Circling back, it's so good that you have that appreciation, not just for jazz, but for just all music.
Yeah. I love classical, too. Like, I grew up on, like...
Classically trained.
Yeah. Chopin.
Oh, yes.
That's my favorite. Yeah. I will sit down and listen to some of, like, the nocturnes that he wrote. Like...
Oh, yeah.
It's so... Yeah, and it's that influence, right? From my mom, I got so much musical theater, like from that, and my dad, I got like the drum corps, and like we'll go see some drum corps shows, and hear the horns. And my brother, I got all like the metal. I got like Slipknot, Alice in Chains, Crossfade. So it's that background,
and it's so great too that you have that. But I gotta say, seeing like a orchestra, seeing a band in person and live is so much different.
I saw Evanescence with a live orchestra. Oh, wow. And that was like hauntingly beautiful.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Like
that woman, she's got some pipes.
Such good music from them.
And that's why it's so important, I think, that, you know, while we do have all this technology at our fingertips, and that we can do a lot of artists can do a lot of their own producing.
Yeah.
It's still important, I think, to get out there and perform live.
Because
it's a whole different experience.
And to hear live music.
Yeah.
Like I know when I'll go out and like listen to a band or listen to, like, sometimes I'll go to an orchestra or a symphony, you know, just to like hear what it is, like just to hear the music, and I'll get inspired or hear things from it that I'll want to incorporate either into what I want to write or, you know, that direction that I'm trying to go, or just in my like regular jazz playing.
Yeah.
I actually saw, I think it's coming in December up to Concord, New Hampshire. It's going to be like a whole rock orchestra, like symphony thing, but it's going to have like Alice in Chains.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. Like all music like that.
Yeah.
It's like right around my birthday. I'm like, I think I know what I want to do this year. Just go to like a whole rock symphony.
I'm kind of expecting now, and I'm going to manifest this because if it's not out there yet. Now, I mean, God rest his soul, Ozzy. Now that he passed away, I feel like whenever a huge influence in rock or whatever, you know, passes away, that's when they all of a sudden do the like symphony orchestra versions. And like, okay... world. Let's get on top of that. Let's do some Aussie symphony. All right, guys.
Black Sabbath. I love that music. Yeah. Rock's so good,
right?
it really is.
Yeah, but you know, we love all kinds, and jazz. Like I said, jazz is just its own beast. Like you, you are. I feel as though that like a lot of the foundation to music and music theory, originates from jazz.
Yeah, and you know, there's so much history to it, and that, I think it's not necessarily my problem or my issue, but a lot of people have this notion of jazz, right? Or they have this expectation of what they're going to hear, where it's either the avant-garde stuff, which is like all over the place and not personally not my cup of tea, or they think of elevator music, right? And there's so much more to it, and that's what I love. This is awesome story. You're ready for this.
Yeah.
So I released my album, right? Back in the spring. And so I work part time as a substitute teacher, right? At a high school. And somehow or other, the kids ask me questions, they talk to me, and they find out that I play music. So I told them about the album. And, high school kids, they can be mean.
Yeah.
But they were so appreciative. My full name is Logan Vale Branch, right? Yeah. Branch from my dad's side, and Vale's my middle name, so that's what I take on the stage. So they call me Mr. Branch at school. Mr. Branch, this music's awesome, and it's like classic jazz. Like jazz standards, and they're like, hey, this is really good. It's like, this is really nice. And I'm like, oh, okay. Then, it's
thank
like,
you.
Yeah, thanks.
Kids, that's called culture.
It's like, and it's like, they're like, Aldi Law's my favorite. And it's like an Italian, like American Italian standard. And these kids are listening to it for the first time. And, a lot of them think that I wrote these, so I have to like, hey, no, they're covers. But, they'll tell me stories of like, Mr. Branch, we listened to this on the way home from prom. We had this playing in the car, and I'm like, that's pretty wild. Like, I'm a part of like their stories now. Or like, some of the seniors came in, and they're like, hey, Mr. Branch, we listened to your album on the golfing the other day, and I'm like, that's pretty wild. Like, they seem genuine about it. So
that's really cool.
It's really nice, There's more to jazz than just like what people expect, and I love the obscure tunes, right? Because Fly Me to the Moon, great, amazing song. All of Me, it's a standard for a reason, but I love the obscure ones, like the ones that people don't know.
Oh yeah, for sure. And then I've even come across a particular artist that took jazz, like a lounge jazz, and used it with current songs. I don't know if you know the artist Richard Cheese.
No.
Check
him out.
You need to check him out, because he did like modern rock songs.
Yeah.
In a jazz style.
Wow.
So like Down with the Sickness.
Yeah.
No.
I'll have to hear that. That's just wild.
Phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Have you ever heard John Legend, but he did all of Gordon Ramsay's insults to piano.
No, it's hilarious.
Amazing. I highly suggest you check that out too.
Check that out. I have to start a list.
Yeah.
Recommendations.
Yeah. But I just love the idea and the concept of jazz making a resurgence, especially in our youngest generation, and rebuilding that appreciation for jazz.
I mean, Michael Bublé did so much for that.
I know.
Right? Like,
Mr. Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, people know Cry Me a River, or they know Feeling Good, those like iconic old songs because of him.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's cool. Like, I want to still keep him alive.
Oh, that's great.
I'm starting to do my own stuff now, right? Because these standards have been done 100 times by 100 different artists, thousands of different artists.
Right.
And while I love playing them, and I definitely want to keep performing them, I'm starting to move my own creative way.
It's kind of like Christmas music. It's like, how many times can we recreate Jingle Bells? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
So dad joke, incoming dad joke. You're learning to branch out.
Oh. But yes.
Yes, that's great. Well, guys, we are nearing towards the end, but I think before we let you go, do you have one more song for us? One last song.
Let's see here. Yeah, I do. It's one of the ones I like to close out with. You know, there's a couple songs I rotate through that I like to like end with.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really beautiful one. It's written by Sammy Fain. It's, an older tune, right? Older from that genre. A lot of artists record it, of course.
Yeah.
I think Billie Holiday is probably the most well known for this one. This is I'll Be Seeing You. I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. That small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well, and I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon. But I'll be seeing you.
Wow.
Thank you.
And we'll be seeing you.
At Carnegie Hall.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Wow. Well, Logan, I am just so, you know, happy that you came down here to the studio to do this interview. And I am so just thrilled that you are, you know, bringing jazz to the generations. That is amazing.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This has been awesome, and I really appreciate it. And it's been a wonderful conversation.
Yeah.
Really nice.
No, I love this.
Definitely.
And so for the folks out there, if they would like to find your music, where would they go?
Yeah. So check me out. Logan Vail, Logan Vail Music. You can find me on all my socials. You can find a website, loganvail.com. You can find my album, A New Standard, written by Logan Vail, right?
I know that guy.
On all streaming platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Pandora, Apple Music, everywhere. Logan Vail Music. And, you know, I'll be posting more. I've started posting some of my original stuff or some, you know, ventures into the new kind of area I want to go into. So nice. Be able to watch that along with, you know, any gigs that I have popping up around New England.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, we'll definitely follow your musical journey.
I appreciate it.
Guys, we hope that you follow his musical journey. Yeah, well, that's great. Well, again, thank you for coming down and doing this. And guys, this is what the show is all about, right? We are...
Shining a spotlight
on our local musicians, and music is very important to us. It's very important to our children and you know, future generations. Let's make sure that we keep this music culture going. So if you guys could, make sure you share this, make sure you hit that subscribe, and make sure you're following us on all our platforms. Nikki, can you tell them where to find us?
Yeah, we're on all the things. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you're listening to your podcasts. We're also on YouTube. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as well.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks. Thanks again, Logan, for coming down.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nikki, for being so awesome. Thanks to our audience. We had an audience today.
We did.
and thank you, listener, for just tuning in. So with that being said, let's do a jazzy goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
The Musical Chairs of Massachusetts has been handcrafted for your listening pleasure. Hosted by Chris Guerra. Co-hosted and produced by Nikki Cross. Audio engineering and talent booking by Nikki. Audio, video engineering and graphic designs by Chris. Theme song written and recorded by Route 2 Revolution. This has been a CG Broadcasting production.